It's not exactly understood what the glory is, and I don't know as though I fully understand what the glory is. When Moses asked to see God's glory, he let him see his goodness, and he let all his goodness pass before him. I would think that that makes the Lord very glorious. Now, if that's what his glory is or not, I don't know. It said that the glory of the Lord filled the house where they were ministering when Solomon built the temple, and people literally fell under the power. It says they could not stand and minister. And so therefore, the glory of the Lord was so strong in that place that they literally fell under the power. Also, we know that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle of Moses above the mercy seat, and it was like a brilliant, intense, brilliant light that could not be looked unto without probably physical damage. We also know that that glory had something to do with fire, because from that glory the altar was lit. It was a fire that came from God, not as intense as the fire that came down upon the burnt offerings, but yes, so upon the holiest of all. And evidently, the Lord Jesus Christ was covered in this glory, and at the Mount of Transfiguration, he was known to have that glory, and it said he shone around about. Now, this glory of the Lord, we don't often understand. There are some theologians and men of God that believed that man's original clothing was like the angels' clothing. They were clothed in glory. Their glory was such that they needed no earthly clothing. They were clothed in light. And when they fell from the kingdom of light to the kingdom of darkness, that covering, of course, was taken away, and they saw that they were naked. Now, you make of this whatever you want. I don't really know what to tell you the glory is. I'm only trying to find examples in the Scripture where the glory of God was made manifest, and what exactly it was, I don't know as though we know. I know that when that was present, a very high sense of the presence of God was also present. When the glory of the Lord never seemed to be detached from his person, the glory of the Lord always seemed to be like the clothing around himself. It said of heaven and of the New Jerusalem and of the city that it had no need of the temple, for the Lord himself was there, and there was no need of light, for he was the light thereof, and there was no darkness, or no night. So we see by some of these things that the glory of the Lord is a very high thing. I don't know as though we can really define exactly what it is, but we know several things about it. We know, first of all, that it has much to do with light and very little to do with darkness. We know that it has to do with goodness and not evil. We know that it has to do with purity and holiness and not with sin or violence. We know that it has also to do with a high level of the sense of presencing. That means the individual is there with it. You can't detach it from an individual. It is there present when God is present and is not present when he is not. The glory is also accompanied many times by that anointing. Many times as we're singing, I've said to you that the glory of the Lord is in this place, and you can see it on people's faces. You can see the radiance. You can see the joy. You can see the atmosphere of the kingdom. You can see the atmosphere of heaven that we're coming into enjoying now while we're still on earth. That has to do with the glory. Now, what exactly it is, I won't try to define, because I don't know as though I really understand it all yet. Maybe as the years go by, I will. But one thing I can tell you tonight, that we are to inherit that, whatever it is. And it doesn't sound to me like any of it's too terrible. It doesn't sound like, well, let me put it this way. I was going to give you the negative side. Let me give you the positive side. It sounds like we're going to get our clothing back. It sounds like what he said about the locust and the cankerworm having devoured and that army having stolen away, he will restore unto us again. But if I know God at all, it's just like him to give us what we had and to add a little more, just because he's like that. And so I don't think we're going to get what we had, but I think that what we had, we will for sure get. I think it's a lot better. Simply because of this, that Jesus, remember, was the Son of God. Adam was put on the earth, made in the image of God in his first state. But then Adam fell. Excuse me. Adam fell. But the second Adam, Christ, Jesus Christ, never fell. He came in his first glory. He retained his glory. And he left in glory. And glory filled his body. He had a glorified body. Now, if you put these three things together, you realize that the level of glory that Christ lived in was far superior because he had a greater inheritance than Adam, to start with, who was made a little lower than the angels, because it said when he took on our body, when he took on our flesh, when he became a human like Adam, he became lower than the angels. And so Adam, who was lower than the angels, after having fallen, Adam, who was lower than the angels in his first state, could never have had a glory of the Lord in his first state. The Lord Jesus Christ retained his first state, though he was lower, made lower than the angels. He still retained his level of glory. Can you follow me? Now, Jesus said this. He said in John, if I can find it here somewhere, 17 somewhere. Here it is, 17:22. And the glory... He's speaking to the Father now, that thou gavest me. Now, he wasn't talking about the glory that he gave Adam. He wasn't talking about the glory seen upon Moses, because Moses' face shone, but Christ's entire body shone with light that was impossible to look upon, so much so that they greatly feared for even their life. Now, Jesus was saying the glory to the Father, the glory which thou gavest me, now listen to this, I have given them the glory which thou givest me. Now that sounds to me a little better than getting Adam's glory back. I don't know why God wanted to give us so many wonderful things. But it is true that certain people won't inherit that glory. Not everybody does. That inheritance is given to a few. I would say it selectively. You say, well, who is and who isn't? Well, the scriptures is very clear when we get into the inheriting of the kingdom, which is probably the next stage down the line here, not for tonight, of course, we will see that there's people who do not inherit it and people who do. This, likewise, is the same way. There's a selection. You remember the wise and the unwise virgins that were at the midnight hour waiting for the Lord. Some of them had oil with them and their lights burning. The unwise, on the other hand, though their lights were burning, did not have the oil to keep them burning into the midnight hours. When things really got rough, when everything turned wrong, they had no oil for that, to keep the light burning. And so also now, in Proverbs 3:35, the inheriting of glory, because he didn't only give us that glory, he gives us that glory because we inherit it by will of the Father. Jesus said, I don't do anything without the Father's will. Whatsoever he has me do, thou I'll do. So he was not giving us his glory because he felt like it. He was doing that because the Father had purposed that we inherit his glory. Now, one limitation he put on it, only the wise could inherit that glory. The unwise could not. Now, I'll let you define what that means and whether you're in one or another. I'm not going to try to. That's all he gave us to go by. That's all I'm going to give you. Proverbs 3:35, the wise shall inherit glory. The wise shall inherit glory. Now, I want to show you that Jesus' specific ministry in this world was to the poor. He said, hardly do the rich come in. God purposed that the wise, the poor, and the beggar inherit glory. I don't know why he does this. I just know that those are probably the people that need it the most. And so here it goes. In 1 Samuel 2:8, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust, He lifteth up the beggar. Now remember, think of God for a moment. Think of his nature. And before we go on reading here, it's just like God to put somebody down that gets lifted up and to pick somebody up that's down. That's his nature. If you want to have some rough weather sailing with God, fly high. If you come low into weakness, he will bear you up because that's just his nature. In fact, we have a little bit of it, but we're not quite prone to follow it. And you say, well, what is that? Well, if you see a big guy beating up on a small guy, who do you feel sorry for? Not the big guy. Something inside of you, you know, reaches out to that poor guy that's getting beat up on because you feel sorry for him. And the underdog, we call it, the underdog syndrome. We have a way of wanting to protect that poor kid. But then, first of all, you measure up that big guy, and then you figure out whether you're going to help the little guy or not. It's like this little Argentine that went home, ran home, and said, Mommy, Mommy, he said, I saw this great big guy beating up on that little kid. And he said, well, what did you do? He said, why don't you get in and help? He said, I did. And between the two of them, we really beat him up. I mean, first you have to size up this guy. Either go home, or if you're going to get in a fight, maybe you get on the right side, or you get up beat up too. Now, I was just saying to you, God isn't anything like this. God will, because he's so big, will always get on the side of the loser. God loves losers. He just has a special heart for the poor and the disgraced and the beggars. And he said, I'm going to cause them to be lifted up. I am going to cause them to be brought out of the dust, lift up the beggar from the dunghill, and set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Now, this isn't just glory now. We are talking about setting them up with princes to reign on thrones, glorious thrones. Now, that's quite a scripture if you stop and think of it. But either way, they inherit it. That's what I was getting at. He doesn't give it to them just, you know, whatever, or says, well, this is like the lottery or whatever, or sign up or get a number. This is different. God is assigning it to the poor. You'll notice in our furthering of the subject when we get on the kingdom of God that we inherit, you'll also notice there that the meek inherit it. You'll notice that the poor inherit, the poor of spirit. God's always like that. He chooses the miserable souls of the earth and crowns them with glory. And he says, you will inherit glory. You will inherit glory. Now, he didn't say intelligent, remember. He said wise. And so then we get down to John, where I said that he gave us the glory that he given him. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, and I'm running out of time here, said, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He called us, God called us, to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus. Now, that's quite a calling. It's a tremendous calling. I don't know why God plans so many wonderful things for us. I've never enjoyed a series in my life so much as this. I've enjoyed a lot of them, but never so much as this. I don't think I understand it all, but there's just that something inside that just can't wait to find out more, because the more I find out, the gooder God gets. I honestly didn't know he was that good. I didn't know he had a heart like that. I didn't know that he planned so many wonderful things for us creatures. You know, I think if you and I were God, we wouldn't have done so well. No one like him.